Thank you. This is Monday, February 7th, AD 11, 8th Lecture, 3rd Joburg ACC. Now, it's the 6th. My, aren't you out of present time? Anyhow, well, today I'm going to give you a lecture on how to make it work. And give you some more gen on making formulas out of the pre-havingness scale, what to do with it, and so forth. First thing I'd like to tell you is that auditing is auditing, and Dianetics and Scientology have certain constants which haven't altered, and no new development alters these constants. First and foremost amongst those is the auditor's code. That code's been that way now for a long time. And it has a clause in it about how long you run processes. It says you don't run processes that aren't changing. And it says you run a process as long as it produces change. Now, nothing whatsoever in the pre-havingness scale or these developments alters any part of the auditor's code. Next, let's take a look at the behavior of a meter. Havingness is run on the needle. Confront is run on the tone arm. Assessment is run on the needle. And your help run is run no place. No meter. You don't pay attention to it. Because help flattens and unflattens and flattens and unflattens and flattens and unflattens. But your pre-havingness scale is a pre-havingness scale and therefore registers on the needle. It's havingness scale. Registers and reads on the needle. And as long as you get a kick out of running the level or line on the needle, you run it. You don't come off of it just because a certain amount of time has elapsed. Now, basically, time has nothing to do with auditing. Actually, time, in fact, according to the old Dianetic axioms, is the single ablative factor. If time weren't there, you wouldn't have any aberration. Now, foul-ups on time are quite ordinary, quite usual, quite routine. And if time is going to dictate auditing, then you've got aberration dictating auditing. So time does not dictate auditing. Reaction dictates auditing. As long as you can get action on a process, please, chillen, be happy. And let's not go sailing off to some other green field. But at the same time, let's not ride the horse until the saddle is worn out, the horse is worn out, the road is worn out, there's no universe. You can underrun or overrun a process. Now, that's quite serious. So that processes are not run by time. They are run by reaction, and the reading or registry of the reaction requires judgment. Unfortunately, this cannot be taught. Judgment is the result of differentiation and the evaluation of importances. And of course, Mr. Joe Blow, who has A equals A equals A equals A on the brain and uses that forebrain, spent 18 years studying psychology. psychology, practiced in a mental hospital for a number of years, so of course he knows all about it. All he's wound up knowing is that A equals A equals A equals A. You get a result of no judgment. So you get no observation. So all data are like and are all data. And this is an enormous mishmash. And of course, out of such a person, you wouldn't expect to receive any judgment. Now, judgment, however, in this particular case, is neither mystic nor esoteric. It depends on a little old thing called needle. And that needle is part of an E-meter. And if you have the leads plugged in, and if the meter is operating, you should have no difficulty whatsoever telling if the needle moves or not in response to certain questions. Now, in view of the fact that judgment is limited to that fact, it should be very easy. You're running, let's take a non-extant point of the scale right now. Let's take spite. All right, you're running spite, and you run it, and you say, well, that's enough. I'm tired of it. Please, for the sake of the case, at least say spite while you are looking at the needle. And if it goes, or instantly changes the needle pattern, needle's been very loose and nice, and you say spite, and it goes clang, it brought about a considerable change on the needle, didn't it? Whether it fell or stuck or anything else, but it changed the needle suddenly. You said spite, needle change. Obviously, you received what? You got a reaction from the preclear. What you are trying to do is familiarize the PC with this thing called spite to a point where he doesn't have to react every time it is uttered, seen, heard, or dramatized. That's what you're trying to do. So if it reacts on the needle, then life is going to make it react on him. And you haven't cleared him on the subject. So what is the answer? The answer is to run it some more. All right, there are numerous phenomena associated with auditing. And one of them is the rules of flows. Now, when you ask somebody to outflow, 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 all of a sudden everything gets stuck. Or when you ask somebody to inflow, 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 all of a sudden everything gets stuck. That stick overrunning the flow, you know, out, 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 or in, one way too long, is registered on the meter by a stuck needle. That's what a stuck needle is. If you were operating with an oscilloscope, and you say, well, my goodness, this is getting awfully technically electronic. Now, an oscilloscope is a TV without highway patrol or something on it. It's a TV with no cops and robbers. That's all. It's very simple. It's a round disc, and it has a little line goes across it that is a beautiful phosphorescent green. And you can say, get the idea of giving people things. Get the idea of giving people things. Get the idea of giving people things. And you'll see this little line start up. PC's attached to this thing, and you'll see this thing all moving this way, sine wave or something, going this way. Giving people things, giving people things, giving people things, and starts to go slower and slower and slower. Even though you're asking him, go on, give people things, it sticks. It'll just stick right there on the front of the scope. Stick. Now, all sorts of wild randomity occurs if you go on and say, after it's stuck, get the idea of giving people things, get the idea of giving people things, get the idea of giving people things. Then all of a sudden get the person that you're testing is just going to feel like he's about to explode. Now, you say, you see, giving things, that's out. All right, now we're going to take the reverse flow in. Now you say, get the idea of accepting things, get the idea of accepting things, get the idea of accepting things. Now all of a sudden this little thing will start bouncing and then it'll suddenly start going back the other way. It registers the direction of flow. Get the idea of accepting things and back it goes again. It'll go back, get the idea of accepting things. You can see that thing run in this direction and run and run and run and run. And you're still saying, get the idea of accepting things. It goes slower. And slower, and slower, stuck. And now again, if you were to say, get the idea of accepting things, get the idea of accepting things, after that thing stuck, the PC would start going, the kind way to conduct the experiment would then be to say, now get the idea of giving people things, get the idea of giving people things until it merely loosened up and skip it. Now it doesn't matter what auditing command is tailor-made for you. Every auditing command can to some degree or another be overrun. OW is almost the perfect command. It is doing things, holding back, holding back, holding back, doing things, holding back, doing things, holding back, doing things, holding back. You don't run into any stuck flows. Balances, doesn't it? Well, now that may not be true the remainder of the scale. I'll give you an example. You say, get the idea of blaming somebody, get the idea of blaming somebody, get the idea of blaming somebody. That's out, isn't it? All of a sudden your needle sticks. Well, theoretically it shouldn't, but it might. Do you know that there's nothing at all wrong with you suddenly saying, get the idea of being blamed, get the idea of being blamed, get the idea of being blamed? Nothing wrong with that at all. You'll see the needle all of a sudden get flopping. If you're running a PC into some kind of a bind of some kind or another, you're going to stick him up on the needle, that's for sure, on happiness. Flows. The theory and practice of flows. Well, now, but not many people have paid too much attention to this over the past many years. But you'll find it talked about in Scientology 880, long, long ago. 1952. But that's why you have these alternate types commands. It's an effort to keep this flow shaken up. Now, your pre-havingness scale commands are not adjusted for flows. That's one of the things they haven't achieved yet. But you could very easily see them stick up on this. So your rocks and shoals are right there. Thing gets stickier and stickier and stickier and stickier. Well, don't be so mystified. Figure out which way this fellow's doing it. Get the idea of being killed, get the idea of being killed, get the idea of being killed. Sooner or later, it's going to stick the needle. One-way flow, see? You don't like that stuck needle? All right, if you don't like the stuck needle, say, get the idea of killing people, get the idea of killing people, get the idea of killing people, and it'll unstick. A flow is the result of too much in one direction. And that's what a flow is. These are some of the basic mechanics of beingness and the mind and how Thetan misconducts himself in this universe. He gets all kinds of considerations, wild, weird, and wonderful considerations about this or that, and they result in laws for guys like Newton to discover. Now, when your flow phenomena gets in your road, It may be necessary or not necessary to do something, but it's a point of judgment. But you yourself should be very aware of the fact if you're running a one-way flow. It's inherent in the command. Just look at the commands. The command, a one-way flow command. Well, if it's a one-way flow command, perhaps sooner or later you're going to have to take the edge off of it. So it's perfectly all right, you know, to say, well, what have you done? 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 We know that this is the only thing that is wrong with the PC. It's what he's done, not what's been done to him. We know that. But nevertheless, we can say, what have you done? See, we forget the withhold. What have you done? 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 Stuck. Now, why is it stuck? Is it because the pre-clear has a present time problem? Is it because the pre-clear has an ARC break? He hasn't got one, but he's going to have one shortly. You'd have to add on top of this, what's been done to you a few times to loosen the needle up? Now, the reaction of a needle is different than the loosening and sticking of a needle. Loosening needle simply shows that the flow is balancing out. The sticking of a needle simply shows that the flow is overrunning itself and sticking. Neither one have anything to do with a drop or a rise. Those are entirely different phenomena. When you assess by a fall. Fall means re-stimulation or replacement of mass. Something is going to happen to mass. You say to this fellow, you say, boo, and he either gets less mass or more mass. And that's going to be registered by fall. It means that by you saying boo, mental mass, whether in terms of pictures or space or anything else, we don't care. But it just means that that is going to be shifted. And if you can shift it by saying boo, then life can shift it by saying boo. You got it? And if life can shift it by saying boo, it's not flat. Now, it'd be all very well if I could give you a tricycle that you could simply ride up and down the auditing session. And having ridden it enough revolutions, you would have a clear PC. That'd be fine. That'd be fine. Unfortunately, you have to make auditing work. It is up to you to make it work. Now you say, well, some clean, clear, concise process, obviously, repeated, adequately, worked out well, repeated. You sit there and repeat it. Something happens. And it works, and the PC gets better, and everything is fine. Trouble is, auditing rather lulls you into believing this. I've been good enough in its development so that it's almost true. It's almost true. You can actually turn on a tape recorder with enough commands on it and play it at the PC. And in a certain number of cases, something beneficial will occur. But in another certain number of cases, the absence of an auditor is sooner or later going to be felt. Tape recorder develops a buzz, you know. He finally gets an ARC break with it, and the tape recorder... Tape recorder hasn't got anything on its tape to say, do you have an ARC break? At the crucial moment. Now, of course, if you put that every fifth command, that alone would consist of an ARC break. Now, you were at that position in development of Dianetics and Scientology where you could almost be persuaded that you didn't have to invest any effort. It's so good. This pre-halving scale is so fantastic and so powerful, it is liable to lull your sensibilities. You know, it itself is producing so much effect that you're liable to sit back and say, I'm not producing any effect. It is. That's not the case. I might give you the process, but you're the one who produces the effect. Remember that. It's you in the auditing chair who are doing the auditing. Not me. Not your instructors. You. It's up to you to make it work. Now, there are certain ways that you go about making it work. And you can even formalize these. But look, sooner or later, you're going to run into one that there's no formulas for. You can't help it. A Thetan is too inventive. For no reason known to man, beast, gods, devils, or llama priests, your PC, 1 out of 1 million hours of auditing, is liable to suddenly do a bunk. And there you sit with a thetanless body in the PC's chair. The funny part of it was it didn't have a single thing to do with the process you were running. If you can imagine such a situation. Didn't have anything to do with it at all. PC's mother just died. You said, is there a PT problem? He says, no. ARC break, no. You've been used to him operating, you know, reacting on the needle. And he's gone down to a point of no reaction. Now you can go north or south toward no reaction. If you're going up toward tone 40, 80, tone 1,000, of course you get the PC more and more in a state where he himself brings about the reaction of things. And as you go downscale, it's more and more other determined. And he can get all the way to the bottom of the scale to a no reaction. You'll see people with a clear reading, needle not particularly doing anything, tone arm reads clear. Some salesman or something, you put him on the meter. My, does he look good? Sure looks good. Second, you test out a lie reaction, he doesn't lie react. There's no lie reaction on the meter. Now, one of two things is true. Either he's getting up to the right hand of God, or he's so spun in he isn't even there. You pays your money and you takes your chance. The oddities of the lower scale person are, he doesn't get a lie reaction on the meter of any kind. You say no to the next 10 questions. Are you sitting in that chair? He says no, and you don't get any reaction on the meter. But if you ask him to define help, responsibility, change, problem, you would get some of the wildest definitions you ever aberrated at. Now, he just can't give you any kind of a definition for these things. That's all that makes any sense to anybody. The first thing that would happen is he's had an awful hard time wrapping his mind around the idea of defining them. That would be your first reaction. Whereas your fellow who is upscale in the clear brackets and so forth would define them promptly. Now, these things are matters of observation, aren't they? And maybe this PC. It was a brand new PC. He didn't know much about him. Mother-in-law just died. He sits down in a chair and you run three commands or something. He all of a sudden does a bunk. All right, you say, all right, the command made him do a bunk. So automaton-type auditing would consist of you going on running the auditing command. And maybe that isn't what happened. Wouldn't you look the fool? No, you have to know what you're doing, and auditing doesn't happen in the absence of an auditor. It just doesn't happen in the absence of an auditor, that's all. You can do a certain amount with self-auditing. You can pull yourself out of a few bushfires. You can clean up a burned finger or something like that. But really, it takes an auditor to carry it all the way. So the first thing you have to ask yourself in making it work is, why are you there? Why are you the auditor there? There are several mechanical reasons you're there. What's basically wrong with the bank is his concept of other determinism. Therefore, other determinism can move around the bank while he can't. That's one of the fundamentals. But these are not all mechanical reasons. You're there to make it work. And you're there because you're alive. That's why you're there as an auditor. Now, for you to be there as an auditor and put full responsibility for the case gains, changes, or anything else upon the process, this is silly. The process is there to make it easy for you to make it work. The model session is there to make it easy for you to make it work. But basically, you're there to make it work. And what are you trying to do? Just make me guilty when it doesn't work? Do you know that an auditor who says, your ideas, isn't an auditor to me? I have that happen every once in a while. Somebody comes around and he says, you know, your ideas, something or other. I look up the man's auditing record and it's zero. He never has had anything happen. It may be my organization, it may be my enlightenment of the situation, but believe me, if they're not our ideas, they wouldn't even communicate. First thing you have to do is own the ideas. Get a reality on their validity and use them as your own. It has to be you doing the auditing. Not you quoting my process. Not you following out your instructor's directions. You'll find out his directions are based on a lot of experience. You better add your experience to it. Otherwise, it'll never work for you. Now, some of you are going to wake up. Here's another point in auditing. Some of you are going to wake up with a terrible start one day. You know, just practically seize the size of the auditing chair in horror on receipt of a total reality that in the absence of well-run rudiments, auditing doesn't happen. See, right up to a point, you'll do them merely because somebody says you run the rudiments. You run the rudiments, you run the rudiments, you run the rudiments. See? And then one fine day, you're going to get a huge reality on the fact that if you hadn't run the rudiments, nothing would have happened. That the rudiments are there. That they exist. That they are. And that they have to be handled. And that auditing doesn't happen in their absence. Now, that's what's known as reality on an idea. The rudiments, reality on it. Some of you at this stage don't have good reality on rudiments. You think the process is so good that the PC will run when he isn't in communication with you. No, you're the one who makes the auditing work. It's much more important for him to be in good communication with you than with me. Although you will find that when a person is not in good communication with me, the auditing doesn't work well either. Hence old Formula 15. But let's look at this. The rudiments are there to make auditing occur so that you can make it work. And if you don't get those very little points out of the road, auditing doesn't work because for the PC, you're not there. And that's all the rudiments are for, is get the PC into the auditing chair and get him in communication with the auditor. And if you don't do that, he hasn't got an auditor. And if he hasn't got an auditor, then the only thing that's going to work is the mechanical repetitiveness of the exact ritual. The odd part of it is that has a little bit of workability. But not very much. And the most common source of failure in auditing is just this. No auditor. And what makes no auditor? Rudiments not cleaned up. And that's the way it is. You're going to get a big reality on this, not because I told you. But someday you're going to have sweat through about 2 hours or something like this, and nothing happened, and the needles all acted kind of funny, and the tone arm didn't move the way it was supposed to, and it was, oh, this is a mess. The PC's blowy and insulting and so forth. And then suddenly, blue lightning is going to hit. Tremendous idea will strike you. I wonder if this PC has a present time problem, some kind of. And just by accident, you ask this question, you know. By the way, did you come into session with a present time problem? Well, I sure did. I'm going to say, wow, all this difficulty in the session was the result of this present time. Man, what do you know? And after that, you'll be a confirmed rudimenter. Now, it is you that makes it work. And the rudiments put you there for the PC. Of course, I know you're there, but does the PC know it? One of the reasons husband-wife auditing sometimes lays an egg is husbands and wives, with tremendous ARC breaks between them, attempt to run something else beside rudiments. They haven't got an auditor. That's why husband-wife teams don't work as well as other types of teams. Too many ARC breaks, that's all. They'd work perfectly well if one or the other, all the partners, had a reality on rudiments and just didn't try any further auditing until rudiments were cleaned up. Now, this is pretty tricky because you got a present time problem on the part of the wife, you see. And yet, there are enough ARC breaks there that you really can't hardly run a present time problem, don't you see? Messy. But if you just realize that it's the rudiments, the ARC breaks, which are standing in there uncleaned up, which isn't letting auditing happen, you'll see at once why. a husband and wife team is a more difficult auditing situation than other type situations. It all goes back to rudiments. The rudiments, they're very easy to handle, but you have to watch the needle and ask the questions so that they are arriving in the PC's vicinity. And he is latching onto them and answering them. Now, there's the trick. He said, "Do you have a present time problem?" He's sort of antagonistic. He hasn't even got his tension on, you know. You say, "Well, do you have any present time problem?" That's fine. Well, do you have any RC breaks? Oh, good, that's good. All right, withholding in the... Well, all right, good. Now, I will be in the session. And he said, You say, "But he couldn't possibly be going rah, 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 because I covered the rudiments." I don't know who you covered them with, yourself probably, but not with a PC. It's an underestimate of the number of times you have to ask for a PT problem. If you say once, that's nothing. Two, well, that's barely safe. You have a present time problem. He's busy thinking of something weird and wild. He's thinking of the present time problem right now, but he's so fixated on it that he doesn't realize that he is in an auditing session being asked about it. So you don't get any reaction. Present time problem is what he is in. It's his normal course of human reaction right at that minute. So you say, "Do you have a present time problem?" And he says, "No." You get no fall on the meter. No, look, you have to get him into session enough to answer the question, then you get the reaction on the meter. So you say, "Do you have a present time problem?" He said, "Well..." You say, "Well, let me ask that again. Do you have a present time problem? Is there anything worrying you in present time? Is there anything that's keeping your attention out of the session?" "Oh, well, yes." Clank. Now, when you get to be an old hand, you can usually look at them and tell. You can look at them. Their eyes look sort of blank, and their voices are sort of distant, and they aren't quite there, and so forth. And it's your observation combined with the meter that counts. Meter's confirmation, usually your observation. Only sometimes your observation merely tells you that something is disturbing. That's all the observation tells you. And the meter can more closely select it. It wasn't a PT problem. It was bothering him. It's the fact that he has got a terrible withhold and he just doesn't know quite how he's ever going to be able to tell you. That's all. And you haven't even gotten to withholds in the rudiments, don't you see? You go down the rudiments, you can't find anything. All of a sudden, you run into withhold, and bang, there it is. That was what was disturbing him. The meter very closely differentiates and very accurately differentiates exactly what zone the PC's attention is pulled into. What is wrong with the PC is very well diagnosed by the meter. But you look at that PC, and he isn't looking, saying, "Well, let's go, boy. I'm really interested in this. You know, I'm all ready to sail. You know, and so on." And he just doesn't look like he's going right on down the track. You see, and he's ready for that next process. And he, man, you better cover rudiments till you find out why. And if I were to, if I were really unconvinced that this PC was ready to be audited by me, I'm afraid I'd just go over the rudiments and over the rudiments and over the rudiments and over the rudiments and over the rudiments until I found out why. And bring about a case of, "Boy, here we go, and that process is really terrific, and we're going to get out." You got the idea? Of course, my idea of what it takes to set up a PC in an auditing session and your idea of it possibly has some difference between them. Well, I want the PC to be all ready to get audited. All ready. You know? It's a peculiarity on my part, I know. I realize that. I have the peculiarity of, before I build a house, of piling up the lumber, you know, and finding out if there are any nails and things like this, you know. And it is peculiar. And I have been criticized for it. But I sure get an awful lot of houses built. No, if auditing is going to work, you're going to make it work. And if you're going to make it work, you have to be awful real to that PC. The basic difficulty in an ACC is not the same as in an HGC. Now, for an HGC auditor to make this mistake is absolutely fantastic because he's got everything on his side. He's got altitude. He's part of the central organization. He's a professional. Nobody has even quivered in trusting the PC to his hands. Don't you see? Confidence has been exuded all over the place. PC goes in, and he's got present time problems and ARC breaks, and he doesn't like to be audited by women or anything else. Well, the matter of fact, these things are all countered by the altitude. It's just crush, you know, and he says, well, guess I might as well give here. He'll find it out anyhow. Not so amongst you students. You say, well, we're all students here together, and we're all stupid, and besides, I saw him just an hour ago getting a reaming out from the instructor about something. He isn't so good. Well, let me tell you something. You have to be 10 times as good to get a result as an ACC student as you do an HGC auditor. You really do. You have to be awful good. I don't advise you to walk up and down between auditing sessions with little placards saying you're the best auditor in the world in order to increase your altitude with a PC or something like that. But the more workmanlike, attentive, interested attitude you have, why, the more your altitude gains. You can make your own altitude. All it is getting the PC into session, that's all. Getting the PC interested in his own case and willing to talk to you. If you don't arrive at that point, then no mechanical system in the world is going to do anything for the PC. See that? Don't count on anything doing anything for the PC if you can't. You're going to do something for the PC. The PC is willing to have it done for him. Why, shucks, you could run engrams on him. Way back when, you know. And he'd gain. But with the PC unwilling to be audited by you, you really not there, not too willing to probe into the psyche, which after all is sacred. Why, you can use the processes you've got right now and get absolutely no place. How do you like that? In other words, if you had him totally in session, you could use old-time clumsy processes and get someplace. But if he's not in session, you can use the newest and chromiest platedest we got, and you'll get no place. Now, this becomes more important from another quarter. You can break through with a powerful process and get a PC going against his will. He's got ARC breaks, present time problems, withholds, he's all loused up. And you can just like pound, 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 psychiatric style, make an impingement. Let me tell you, you better not. Because auditing is a thing of lightness. not a thing of bulldozers. We left bulldozers behind with Pavlov. You should be able to chatter off some killer-diller of a process in the lightest voice, with the least concern. You know it is working. That's the touch that makes them click. Now, what you run on the PC is very, very important. But what you run is secondary to running it. And you can't run it at all, not at all, if you don't have the PC in a condition to be audited. And if you yourself are not willing to audit the PC, no. So you have to resolve these basic conditions before you go chugging in. After that, technology counts. All right. I'm going to talk to you here very briefly about how to make up a formula and how to run one. And it's very, very, this is almost footnotey. I'll be talking to you more about this. But this is all part of the same show. If the PC is falling or not falling on ARC breaks and has them, you, of course, are not going to get any place with any process. So what the PC is doing with the process is dependent upon the PC being in session. So anything I say about what happens in a process precludes this fact that the PC is in session and that you are auditing the PC. In case of doubt, run the rudiments again. End the session, take a short breather, and start it all up again. This PC isn't reacting the way you think he ought to react. And let's get to the root of this situation. That is the longest, most arduous, formalized way of going about it. Just asking him suddenly if he has an ARC break, of course, is also allowable. He seems to be drifting out of session, and it isn't satisfactory the way this thing is running, and so forth. Now, all of those things are primary. Now, let's get down to the secondary fact that these processes by themselves can be underrun or overrun . And because they can be underrun or overrun, you're liable to be assessing for a second process before the first process was flat. Such things as that, you see. So your technical accuracy then consists of doing an accurate assessment. Now, we lay aside this idea that you've got the session going. PC is interested in your own case, won't talk to the auditor. That's squared around. And you're running this process. And you think, well, that's flat, and you just skip it and assess it again. Do another assessment on the PC. And you happen to have brought it to a temporary null. Very temporary null. You know, one sneeze and it's off again. Processes flatten and unflatten and flatten and unflatten and flatten and unflatten. And you can almost unflatten almost any process before it is totally flat. All right. The way you do an assessment is to go from the bottom to the top of the pre-havingness scale and find your biggest fall. A quick way of doing it is go up to find a fall and run that thing. But the most accurate way of doing it is to run the whole scale from bottom to top all the way up and spot what your biggest fall was. And in case of doubt, run the scale again. And make up your mind between a couple of them which one you run. Now, any fall is a fall. Your biggest fall might have been a flick. Your biggest, quote, fall, unquote, on a PC who's having a rough time of it might have been suddenly a change in needle pattern. That's very difficult to read because the needle pattern might have changed because of the question before the one you thought changed it. You see, you ran something on the order of a failed overt, and then you ran an overt, and then you got a sudden change in needle pattern the second you said overt. So if you're running on a change of needle pattern for your assessment, you'd be very careful. Now you have to run the scale more often, because it's probably one of three that changed the needle pattern, and you've got to find out now which one did, really and accurately. One of them did. Just because it appeared the second you said overt is no reason it's overt. It might be failed overt, and it might be a withhold. See? It's lag. The PC's mind doesn't keep up with your lightning-quick patter. You ever hear of comm lag? Or is a comm lag in all assessments? So you run it from the bottom to the top. Find your biggest drop, biggest fall. Or in the case of a very hard-to-read PC on the meter, PC's having a rough time, you change the needle pattern. Find out which one it is. You take that one, and you go one down from there. And you've got the one you found and the one just below as the two which you're going to run as a formula. Then you run them about 10 minutes apiece. I'll tell you something very peculiar about these things. I say 10 minutes apiece in spite of the fact that that's not a good criterion. One's going to stick the other, and you can get the PC lost someplace down the track. And let's be very factual here. You're running blame and regret. And blame simply lands him in the midst of a mess and doesn't progress him back to present time. But regret does. But regret lands him in a mess and doesn't progress him back to present time. But blame will. Get the idea? You run these things, two more commands, and then we will end the process, see? Then I will end the process. Because on this pre-halvingness scale, you're going to stick them up on the track with one process. You understand? You're going to stick them up badly. And they're not going to come back to present time, sprightly, cheerful, and beaming. You know, you ran overt, 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 overt. You know, all of a sudden he gets all stuck up someplace. Lord knows where he is, but he's sure not in present time. Flip it and start running failed overts. And all of a sudden he brightens up. See? Yeah, that was what was wrong. No, that isn't what's wrong. He'd say very shortly, it was really the overts. Yeah, but he's stuck now on failed overts. You see? And you got to run overts again, and that moves him some more. Got the idea? You don't really run it much against the needle. You do run it to some degree against the tone arm, because I assure you there's a certain amount of confront in that scale. And if the tone arm isn't moving at all for a process, oh, there's something real wrong here someplace. Tone arm isn't moving for the process, there's something wrong. That's true most processes. True of all processes. But you want to find out if overts is flat. You want to find out if it's flat. Well, you'd better ask him. You know, looking at the meter, you better find out if he gets a fall or a stick or something peculiar happened to the needle. When you say, well, have you done anything to anybody? Clang. It's not flat. Now, how long does it take to flatten one of these formulas? I don't know. Nerve of you asking me to predict the reaction of every PC. It takes as long to flatten a formula derived in this fashion as it takes the PC to familiarize himself with his bank in that sphere to a point where the physical environment no longer re-stimulates him on it. That's pretty flat. So you might flatten one in an hour. You might flatten one in 12 hours. You see? It's whether or not he gets a fall on these two buttons. If he gets a fall on these two buttons, or if that needle gets upset on these two buttons, it's not flat, that's all. Now, the individual can fall out of session by getting too gummed up. He starts getting worried. He starts getting frantic. You've got him back in the 16th century. You're running over, it's over, it's over, it's over. So he's back in the 16th century, and all of a sudden he isn't moving out of the 16th century. He's never been back there before, and it's dangerous. And you don't notice anything about this. You don't notice he's having any trouble. You're letting Ron do all the auditing. Next thing you know, he compounds the felony by developing an ARC break on top of what he's doing. Now, you really got a mess on your hands, haven't you? Well, the way to take it apart is take apart the ARC break and then take apart the thing that you overran by running something else. Got the idea? A person can get very gorgeously parked on the track with these formulas. But he's been there all the time anyhow, so why worry about it? The one below, theoretically, will knock it out. The button just below, or the button above, will knock out what the button below did. Blame and regret are a beautiful example of this. What he blames winds him up in regret. What he regrets winds him back up in blame. And he goes from one to the other. But I wouldn't run these things too long. I wouldn't run one of these legs of the formula too long. I'd run it a few minutes, something like that. Notice the PC was comfortable and happy with it, or we hope, and something like that, and shift to the other leg of the formula and run that, and pretty soon he seems to be kind of easy and comfortable about that, and we shift back to the first one again. Auditing does not gain to the degree that the PC agonizes. It gains to the degree that he gains. If he gets an ARC break because of something he thinks you're doing, run out the ARC break and shift to the other one and carry on, okay? If I could teach you just to look at a PC, see what the PC is doing, and know whether or not that doingness was beneficial to the case or not beneficial, I really would have done something for you. The PC who starts to work against the auditor is not gaining. The old formula, the auditor plus the PC versus the bank. That's all right. But the auditor, being fought minus the PC's cooperation versus the bank, well, even that wins sometime. But the auditor fighting the bank and the PC fighting the auditor, that never works. So you have to keep that one straightened out, otherwise nothing else happens. You probably right now have several cases. I know there's some cases in the HGC where they've been overrun, that is to say, not overrun, underrun. Where no test was made before the assessment was done again. And those cases would have to be taken back to the first assess button, the formula composed of that, flattened further, and go on to the next assess button and flatten that further. In other words, the work is all laid out, only it hasn't been done. Something like we've no more than drawn the blueprint and we didn't get any house as a result. Now, as you go along, you will find out that a button can, when nullified, suddenly start kicking again. But you would get that on a later assessment, wouldn't you? All right. This is pretty gingery type processing we're doing right now. So you do a good job of it, huh? and we wind up with some good results here. Thank you.